Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, October the 18th, 2017. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you give us. We thank you for the guidance that you provide. We thank you for the way that you have made clear before us. Today we continue our study, asking that you would continue to give us the strength that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we are going to look at the fact, I'm sure that you are aware of this, that Steve Bannon, after he has left the White House, has now, since that, declared war on the Republican Party establishment because he believes that they are not as conservatives as they ought to be. Years ago, there were some references to Republicans who were called rhinos, and that was short for Republicans in name only, R-I-N-O. That's what they were called back then. But today, Bannon is taking a look at challenging some of those men who are not as embracing of the Trump agenda, which actually is his agenda, really Bannon's agenda, as they should be. In CNN, on the CNN website, published on October the 15th, 2017, there is an article there written by Miranda Green. That's G-R-E-E-N. And the title of the article is At Values Voter Summit, Bannon Declares War on GOP Establishment. Now, first, let me say that the Values Voter Summit is really a far-right evangelical meeting where they all come together and they talk about the Lord and what they want to do and how they want to change the country and the impact that they want to have. In other words, they call themselves those people who are interested in values, and the values that they're referring to is Christian values. And, of course, you will find Reconstructionists in that meeting and Dominionists in that meeting. Well, he spoke to that meeting. At Values Voter Summit, Bannon declares war on GOP establishment. Former White House Chief Strategist Steve Bannon implored conservative activists at a Washington gathering Saturday morning to continue fighting the GOP establishment, attacking a number of Republican members of Congress by name, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Bannon told attendees at the Values Voter Summit, an annual social conservative conference, to keep up the fight against the imperial political class. It's not my war. This is our war. And you all didn't start it. The establishment started it, Bannon said. He also said, right now it's a season of war against the GOP establishment. He had told Fox News' Sean Hannity earlier this week that he was declaring war on the Republican establishment. The Breitbart chief has been looking to unite Republicans behind President Donald Trump. His efforts highlight growing turmoil inside the Republican Party and the conservative movement. At the summit, Bannon at one point directed his comments directly at McConnell, warning, up on Capitol Hill, it's like the Ides of March. They're just looking to find out who is going to be Brutus to your Julius Caesar. We've cut your oxygen off, Mitch. In the Shakespeare play, Brutus is among the senators who stabs Julius Caesar, the leader of the Roman Empire, and his best friend in the back. The speech comes as Bannon is recruiting conservative candidates for the 2018 midterm election and forming a donor network to back them in primary races against incumbent Republican senators. Most notably, Bannon backed former Judge Roy Moore to oust Senator Luther Strange in an Alabama Republican primary last month. The most important thing is an authentic candidate, Bannon said at the summit. Whether it's Donald Trump or Judge Moore, this is who you ought to vote for. Trump endorsed Strange over Moore, who went on to lose the Alabama primary. At the summit, Bannon said Trump's decision was made due to bad advice. The president had some bad information given to him and some bad advice, and folks told him things that weren't so, Bannon said. I kind of told him what was going to happen down in Alabama and what was going to stand. Now, of course, President Trump spoke at the summit on Friday. Bannon had been openly attacking members of the Republican establishment for what he sees as hindering President Donald Trump's agenda. Another senator he referenced in the speech was Senator Bob Corker, whom Bannon called at the summit a real piece of work. Earlier this week, Bannon called for Corker to resign after a public feud between Trump and the Tennessee Republican. If Bob Corker had any honor, any decency, he should resign immediately, Bannon said in an interview with Hannity on Monday night. Now, that's the end of that article, and of course, I'm sure you've heard of this so-called war that Bannon has declared upon the Republican Party because he wants to make sure that they come together with the Trump agenda, which, as I said before, really is a dominionist, a reconstructionist agenda. In NBC News, there is also an article that was published on October the 15th, 2017, written by Kerry Giger and Jonathan Allen. The title of the article is Bannon's Playbook, How He'll Wreck the GOP Establishment. Steve Bannon and his allies don't have to win every battle in their guerrilla war to take down the Republican political establishment. They just have to wreak enough havoc to alter the behavior of GOP lawmakers. And that's what Bannon, the former chief White House strategist and campaign manager for Donald Trump, is promising to do in the corridors of Washington power and on the electoral map. His core argument, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican from and establishment-minded Republican members of Congress are thwarting President Donald Trump's agenda through a combination of sabotage and incompetence. Conservative voters should both demand a change in Senate GOP leadership and use primary elections to oust Republicans who aren't in lockstep with Trump, the anti-establishment Republicans contend. Bannon's aggressive strategy in taxes, including the full assault on McConnell and securing the financial backing of mega donors, have given new urgencies to the insurgency. The battle royale between Trump and the base versus McConnell and the establishment is upon us, said David Bozell, president of For America, one of several conservative activist groups that share Bannon's goals. It's just going to get hotter and hotter and hotter, added Bozell, who last week called on McConnell and his team to resign from Senate leadership. The litmus test is, whether you're an incumbent or a challenger, we're looking to see who's going to support Mitch McConnell or not. If you're going to support Mitch McConnell and his this leadership team, there's not going to be an appetite for you. The fight between the wings of the Republican Party has been raging since long before Bannon became a familiar figure on the national political scene last year. It coincided with the rise of the Tea Party in the 2010 election cycle and intensified with Trump's defeat of a legion of GOP current and former office holders in the 2016 presidential primary. Right now, it's a season of war against the GOP establishment, Bannon, the head of the conservative Breitbart media outlet, said Saturday at the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. Ken Cusinelli, president of the Senate Conservative Fund, which has spent millions of dollars to help elect conservatives such as Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, Mike Lee from Utah, and Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania, said he's told his staff that they don't have to win every race to change the way Washington operates. He'd be thrilled if we bat 400, he said. If they can beat a few establishment candidates at the ballot box, the thinking goes, they should be able to beat the rest into submission when it comes to fully supporting the Trump agenda. Bannon already has one high-profile win. He backed conservative firebrand Roy Moore, who ousted incumbent Senator Luther Strange last month in a landslide victory in the Republican primary in the Alabama Senate race to fill Jeff Sessions' seat. The victory came despite Trump's support for Strange and the main McConnell-linked super PAC spending millions of dollars to help Strange. Alabama was a major wake-up call for other Republican candidates slated to run in 2018. Bannon has encouraged Eric Prince, the founder of now-defunct private security and military firm Blackwater, to run against Senator John Barrasso in Wyoming, according to the New York Times. A spokesperson for Prince declined to comment. Representative Dave Bracht, who upset the then House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in 2014 primary, said Senate Republicans who signed onto the GOP platform and haven't helped deliver are fair game. They should be challenged for not keeping their word, he said. And while Bannon has focused mostly on the Senate so far, he's backing former Representative Michael Grimm from New York, who is seeking to regain his House seat after serving prison time for a felony tax fraud conviction. Even though Bannon and Trump found themselves on opposite sides of the Alabama race, he isn't trying to stick it to his old boss, said Rick Tyler, a Republican strategist and MSNBC political analyst. Bannon believes in his worldview and is driven by an ideological purity, Tyler said. With the support of Moore in the Alabama race, he demonstrated a pro-ideology play rather than an anti-Trump play. Rather than splitting with Trump, Bannon is trying to get Republicans to fall in line with the populist, nationalist agenda the president outlined on the campaign trail, which included pulling back on trade deals, repealing Obamacare, and cracking down on immigration. But his primary focus right now is getting rid of McConnell. Now, of course, those issues that I just mentioned in that paragraph, they are all the issues of the Dominionists and the Reconstructionists. They want to pull back on the trade deals, they want to crack down on immigration, and they all, as we've said before in previous programs, they all have a theological position for holding those positions. Continue. Some in the political establishment says Bannon's skills and clout are greatly exaggerated. The idea that you should be afraid of Steve Bannon is just laughable, said Stuart Stevens, who helped Mississippi Senator Thad Cochran beat back a challenge from anti-establishment Republican Chris McDaniel in 2014. Bannon doesn't have a long period of winning statewide races, says Stevens, who has advised incumbents to tell the story of what they've done for their constituents and force opponents to defend their own positions rather than allowing them to just attack Washington. Those strategic tips are likely to be tested, and soon. Of the seven Republican senators up for re-election in 2018, only Cruz can rest easy that Bannon isn't coming after him. Senator Bob Corker from Tennessee, who was likely to face a stiff primary challenge of the Bannon-backed variety, announced last month that he won't seek another term. But there's little doubt that other groups would have been ready to back an oust Corker effort because the senator has threatened to derail the president's tax reform plan over deficit concerns. These groups don't believe that conservative candidates are likelier to lose to Democrats in a general election. Instead, they think the real danger is that the grassroots will stay home if Republicans nominate establishment candidates. For America and the SCF are operating on parallel tracks with Bannon, their leader told NBC, we have similar ultimate goals, Cincinnati said. But it is Bannon who has taken point, and he's done so with the backing of Robert Mercer, who made his billions through the legendary Wall Street hedge fund Renaissance Technologies. Mercer emerged as one of the largest single donors for Trump, pumping more than $15 million into a super PAC that helped Trump. Bannon, a close ally of the Mercer family, will back 15 anti-establishment Senate candidates, including some Republicans seeking nomination to take down Democratic incumbents. And he's conditioning his support on candidates agreeing not to vote for McConnell as majority leader, according to Bloomberg Politics. Without the Mercer money, Stevens said, there isn't any legitimacy to considering Bannon anything but just another weird guy on television. Bannon has broadly criticized McConnell's leadership, lack of support for Trump, and the Senate's failure to repeal Obamacare, and he went after the Kentucky Republican directly on Saturday at the Values voter gathering in D.C. Noting that he was speaking metaphorically, Bannon likened McConnell to Julius Caesar, who was stabbed to death by Roman senators, including his old friend Brutus. McConnell's critics, Bannon said, are now wondering, who's going to be Brutus to your Julius Caesar? So notice that this is quite a serious matter that is developing here. This fight that is going on within the Republican Party, and what is most amazing is that they're not even that concerned about the Democrats at all. They are more concerned with who is going to be a part of the Republican Senate, and if they are going to support this dominionist, reconstructionist, theocratic agenda that now is coming forward. Now, remember those two articles, and I would suggest that you take a look at them yourselves. The first one that I read was on the CNN website, entitled, At Values Voter Summit, Bannon Declared War on GOP Establishment. That was published on October the 15th, written by Miranda Green. And the second article we looked at was in the NBC News. That also published on October the 15th, 2017, by Kerry Geiser and Jonathan Allen, and that was entitled Bannon's Playbook, How He'll Wreck the GOP Establishment. Now, there's another article that we probably can look at really quickly. This one, however, was written a little bit earlier, back on July the 17th, 2017, of course, and the writer of the article is Joshua Green. It's found on the Vanity Fair website, and it's entitled, Inside the Secret Strange Origins of Steve Bannon's Nationalist Fantasia. Inside the Secret Strange Origins of Steve Bannon's Nationalist Fantasia. And there's a subtopic here. It says, the chief strategist of Trump's triumph reveals his strange brew of intellectual influences, including a French-Egyptian Muslim occultist guru, and his apocalyptic view of history. All right, let's take a look at two of the paragraphs here at least. Let's see what it says. Here's where the whole populism and nationalism thing came from, Steve Bannon told me. It was February, and he was sitting in his White House office in a chair pushed against the wall with a dry ease board opposite him listing all the promises that just inaugurated President Trump was going to carry out, which means draining the swamp, etc. But first, Bannon wanted to explain the ideas that drove Trump's shocking upset to put that victory into broader context. With Bannon, everything is always about something much bigger. Trump's rise was, he said, transformative in America, for it was only one manifestation of a powerful global undercurrent. That's why, he said, you see a nationalist movement in Egypt, India, the Philippines, in South Korea, and now in Japan. I'd say Putin and Xi in China are nationalists. Notice who he's quoting here. Like, look at Le Pen in France, Orban in Hungary, and the nationalists in Poland. Trump was, of course, the most consequential. Look, I've been studying this for a while, and it's amazing that Trump has been talking about these ideas for 25 years. But this point, Bannon's term for his politics and Trump's nationalism was already in wide circulation in the political press. But the term meaning was and remains opaque and has never been fully explicated. While Trump's embrace of America First nationalism was chiefly due to its resonance as a campaign slogan, Bannon's attraction to it had a far deeper and more complicated lineage. And in this article, Bannon goes ahead to describe in detail what he has had in mind. I'll just read one more paragraph, and I would suggest that you try to take a look at this for yourself. It's Vanity Fair, published July the 17th, 2017, Inside the Secret Strange Origins of Steve Bannon's Nationalist Fantasia. Just this last article we will take a look at today. From an early age, Bannon was influenced by his family's distinctly traditionalist Catholicism, and he tended to view current events against the broad sweep of history. In 1984, after Pope John Paul II permitted limited use of the Latin-only Mass, which was banned by the Second Vatican Council, Bannon's parents became Tridentine Catholics, and he eventually followed. Though hardly a moralizing social conservative, he objected bitterly to the secular liberalism encroaching upon the culture. We shouldn't be running a victory lap every time some sort of traditional value gets undercut, he once told me. When he was a naval officer in the late 1970s, Bannon, a vociferous audiodactic, embarked upon what he described as a systematic study of the world's religions that he carried on for more than a decade. Taking up the Roman Catholic history first instilled him as his Catholic military high school. He moved on to Christian mysticism and from there to Eastern metaphysics. In the Navy, he briefly practiced Zen Buddhism before wending his way back to Catholicism. Now, I'm going to stop there, but of course, that gives you a little background as to who this man is. He's not really a devout churchgoer, but actually he has developed a certain kind of conservatism, nationalism, fascist approach to his thoughts. He still, in spite of the fact that he's no longer in the White House, still has a tremendous influence upon the president and upon the Republican Party. And of course, as we've said before, the agenda that he is pushing is the agenda that we've been warned about in the Word of God all of this time. Today, you and I need to understand that God is knowledgeable, that everything he has said is coming to pass, and we must be ready to face it. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have warned in advance of all of the things that we see now. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to guide us and protect us, that we would walk with you and be representative of you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, October the 18th, 2017.